Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of soul, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky.
Hi, welcome to the Outlander Gab. We're back this week. That we weren't here last week, we were, but we are here this week to talk about episode 603, Temperance, and a little bit about stuff. We don't have a whole lot to talk about. This is Erin Conrad, one of your hosts for the night. I'm the senior editor for 3FBySpace.net, and if you haven't read my review for this week, time to run right over there after the show and read it. And we're here today with, as always, Sam Kropner. Say hi, Sam.
Hello there.
There you go. And Allison is not with us tonight, and so we are also joined by Coco Pipkin. Say hi, Coco.
Hello.
There she is. Okay. We have a little bit of a delay here. This is interesting. So there hasn't been as much news. There's been a bunch of little things going on. Samuel Jackson talked about how his wife watches Outlander while he goes to sleep. So Jamie runs through his dreams.
Dreamscape.
That
yeah, I love
funny.
That.
Sam replied that Samuel L. Jackson runs through history, so that was interesting. Sam announced that he's got a book coming up, and we had an Instagram Live. And just so you all know, we'll be talking to those in a minute. Today we have a little bit of something special if you call in and chat with us. Coco has offered to give everybody who chats on the air with us a Brianna P4 Cryptozoic promotion card for the Season 5 set of trading cards. So if you call in to us and chat with us on the air tonight, make sure that you hit one of us up on Facebook or Twitter or Insta, me, Sam, or Coco. Coco is at Pippi Pipkin on Facebook, and Koki Gadget, K-O-K-I-E Gadget, on Twitter. And I'm Erin Adams Conrad on Facebook, and at Erin Conrad 2 on Twitter. So you can find one of us and send us your address, and we'll mail out a card to you. They're fun. It's a really pretty card, and so we hope a lot of you will call in and join us today.
And so, clearly, I'm chopped liver because you're not going to, you didn't announce my email addresses or anything.
Oh, well, you're at the Boston Kropner.
Well, actually, on Insta and Twitter, I'm at Sam Kropner. So, but anyway,
there we go. So,
people can find me.
So today we had. We had a fun, as I hear it, live with Cesar and Lauren Lyle. I didn't get a chance to see it. Can you tell us about it?
I did. You know what? I've been really enjoying this week because, little known fact, right? I am a huge Fergus and Marsley fan. I think that I've been waiting for a couple of seasons for these scenes, and this has been a great week. So they had so much love on Twitter and Instagram that they decided to do an Instagram Live, and it was adorable. The two of them on the Instagram Live, they asked for they asked ahead of time for questions. So Lauren did have a list of questions, and she got through quite a few of them. And then they tried to grab a couple from the chat section of it. But the two of them together are just adorable. You know what I mean? I mean, they're great on their own.
Yeah.
But they just play off of each other so well. Cesar was over at his friend Octave's house, and he just got a new puppy, so now he's got two little baby Frenchies, and this dog, Lulu, was absolutely adorable. She kind of stole the show a couple of times because everybody saw the puppy dog and went, oh, puppies! But really cute puppy. They really got through quite a few things. They talked about the elephant in the room. Lauren said none of that was her. You know, everything was fake. The boobs were fake. The butt was fake. I think Cesar called her a Kardashian because, you know, her boobs were fake. Her butt was fake. But Cesar said
that's
that
from last week.
Last week, but then you know,
last week's, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was saying that his dad had asked him this week, how do you do that with, you know, your friend? You know, how do you, because stop.
Yeah.
They debated as to if it was water that she threw at him and water that he threw at that lady, or if it was something else. And it was just, they were just fun. I mean, I don't think any major revelations, but they did say, hey, if you liked what you saw, you know, feel free to tag stars, tag whoever to try to say we need more for Sally, you know, because otherwise I think they move off to Wilmington and run a print shop and they're not seen for another book or so.
There is something, not that I want to reveal anything, but there is something in this week's episode, the one coming up, that makes you think that might happen. So there's a little tease for you.
Tease.
I know, it's such a tease.
By the way, the Instagram Live, if people can't watch, if they weren't able to watch it because it was on right as people, a lot of people were probably at work, if you go to Lauren's Instagram page, she put up the recording. It's about 52 minutes, so if you got about an hour, you can listen to the to the replay.
Yeah, I saw you put it in Outlandish Chicago, and I put it in Outlandishly 3 if by Space, our group. So hopefully people will be able to find it. The other news is Sam Heughan is coming out with a new book. You know, I saw something that said, it was a meme that said, you know, everybody else during COVID hunkered down. It's okay if you don't get anything done. It's okay if everything is on hold for you for a while because, you know, COVID. Sam Heughan, hold my beer. 3 books. Season of Outlander. See, brand new Men and Goats.
Brand new line of liquor. My God.
Right.
Endorsements of motorcycles and guitars. The man is a little workaholic. He's the king of men.
Right, right. Yep. Well, that was one of these video interviews that somebody did for the start of season 7 and asked him how he would be as a boyfriend. And he said, probably really bad because I'm a workaholic. But the book is called Waypoints. It comes out October 25th. It says he takes a long walk and attempts to climb Ben Nevis. And it's to explore his life, reflect on the personal waypoints that define him. With the walk itself, the backstrap to the narrative, the result is a love letter to the wild Scottish landscape that means so much to Sam, and a charming, funny, wise, and searching insight to the world through his eyes. So it's a memoir reflecting on his life and career to this point. So Waterstones in England had been offering signed copies, and I'm seeing it's sold out. Oh, it's back again. It's sold out. So, I mean, he got 6 months. And then it will be published by a very small U.S. publisher or publishing imprint that's a subsidiary of a bigger company. But it'll be available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Don't know anything about autographed copies in the U.S. So we'll have to, all of us, Sam, lovers will have to get a hold of that and see what he has to say. So what else is going on? Anything
well, I can tell you what I'm getting ready to do.
What are you getting ready to do?
I bought a birdhouse that looks like Fraser's Ridge, and I need to make a hat for the hat contest this weekend. So, in true fashion, I have my Funko Pop dolls, Jamie and Claire. I have a wood cabin, and I think I'm going to put it on a graduation mortarboard and wear that hat for the hat contest.
Sounds good.
We can. For the Highland Tea with Diana.
And I will see you there.
Yeah.
You have history of jumbo hats for that.
Oh, yeah, I do. But for anybody listening, unfortunately, all ticket sales have ended for the virtual event. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, somebody went on today and told me it was done, and I meant to buy one for my neighbors, and oops. So.
Well.
It's kind of odd that they would close out the virtual event. Yeah.
So. But anyway. Looking forward to doing that. And what are we doing Saturday morning, Erin?
I don't know. I have to see if there's anything interesting in the area of Flagstaff where we're staying to walk around and look at things.
Friday morning.
But
sorry.
Friday morning. We're going to the Poison Pen.
Very exciting.
So there's
yes.
There's a couple of us. Kathy and I have never been there. You have. But
yes. And it's fine. I will take pictures of anyone who wants to get down on the floor and pose in the dead body outline in front of the cash register.
Well, talk to Kathy Casey about that. If I get down on the floor in the dead body outline, I might as well be a dead body because I'm not getting up again. So.
Well, if anybody has a chance to get there, it is a fun thing to do. I myself have done that. So anyway.
I've been there a couple of times, never did the dead body thing. But Erin, I think you're going to be shocked about how small that store actually is.
It's tiny.
Yeah.
Did you come with us when we went and talked to Arlene at Read Between the Lines in Woodstock? No, you were probably at work.
No.
At Mr. Dallas.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been in small independent bookstores, but they have such a huge reputation, I guess, and we all assume that they're big, but I'm looking forward to, and I have several other favorite authors who I know have signed books there, so.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. They've got a whole wall of signed editions, so, yeah, you're going to, I went down the rabbit hole a couple of years ago there.
I think
it gets
fun.
It gets expensive.
Yeah. Hey, I want to remind you, call in, chat with us, 929-477-3898. If you call in and chat with us tonight about episode 603 or your predictions for the rest of the season or anything you're excited about and looking forward to, we will send you a Brianna promo card. So episode 603, the biggest thing that I keep hearing over and over and over is, oh my God, is that? And I think, personally, I think a lot of it is because it comes so much from the book.
Yeah.
And I think we all know that when that happens, we have a better episode, at least among book readers.
of which we all
readers.
Are.
We don't care. Yep, which we are. The non-book readers don't care. So, but what were some of your favorite parts? Would you like?
I mean, all of it was good.
Yes.
I really agree with what you had told me earlier, which this is one of your top ones of the whole just
the
this
whole series
year, but the whole series.
Yep,
it had really good scenes for a lot of people. I mean, Sam and Katrina have already proved to us that they're phenomenal, but I'm loving the fact that there are so many. I mean, I sobbed. My heart just went out for Cesar. I just, you know, you felt his pain. You felt his despair. You felt his anger. I, you know, it was, and then you, Lauren, the same. You felt her hopelessness and her, it just, I cried. I mean, and I'm not usually a crier, but yeah, it was very emotional.
Oh, come on. Yes, you are.
Okay. Well, only at television shows.
I will say, I actually started crying at the beginning, which is really odd for me, with the whole Henri Christian in the
oh, yeah.
rapids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just like, oh, my God, because I just read that book in, I want to say October
mm-hmm.
or November. So it was pretty fresh. And It was really, really true to the original Diana content.
Yes, it was. It was. And I appreciated that. There was, I thought it was put together very well. There was a lot in the episode.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, we had Fergus's despair and his unhappiness and
mm-hmm.
his drunkenness. And we had Roger dealing with the children, putting Henri Christian in a basket and saying that he was a demon. That I really enjoyed. Roger finally arrived.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Roger in capital letters. He's one of my favorite characters from the books, but the show has not been the same character.
Well, let's
all.
Just address the elephant in the room here. When they
sure.
keep with the original content, a lot of it, look what we get.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Hands down, I have been all over the internet. I have seen very, very little by the way of, I didn't really like it, comments.
Right.
Everything
absolutely.
Is just, it's stellar. It's amazing. What you guys have said, it's deep. It's emotional. It's connected. It has breadth for characters. And we got to see the content of a lot of characters. I mean, it really, that was it.
Right. Right.
And there's humor, too. So there was humor interspersed in there. Do you know
yeah.
that the bullfrog's name was actually named Jeremiah, which I think is just great.
Oh, wow.
The bullfrog in the milk, his name was actually Jeremiah.
Yes. Yeah. That's funny. Jeremiah. Well, I guess that goes, that makes sense, you know. We're all good at singing songs from the 70s. Except. Some of you are a little too young to get that reference, I'm afraid.
I got
but,
it.
That was one of my favorite moments. I laughed way too hard at that when Roger lifted up the cover of the milk and dropped it right away. I was thinking for my review, as I tend to do, about Fergus. And so hard, you know, and if you think about Fergus's life, it hasn't been easy, but it's been nothing like this. You know, once he went to live with Jamie and Claire and then got his hand cut off, sure, he lived on a farm and had to work hard,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure that Jenny and Ian weren't the poor baby kind, but you know, he did it in Jamie's service, and I'm sure he was petted and pampered and taken care of. Plus, he was a child. He didn't have the responsibilities that he does now. And the farm location, Lallybroch location, was a much more insular area. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew who he was. They weren't talking about demons, and, you know, they didn't have the fisher folk. The weird, suspicious, tight-ass fisher folk that they do on the ridge. And he didn't have to provide. He didn't have to protect. the way he does now. And then all of a sudden he's thrown into this environment where he doesn't have something that he can do. Nobody's taking care of him. He's not being watched out by anybody except Marcelline. And he can't even take care of what he thinks he should be taking care of. And I'm sure that that all contributed. You know, the background, the way he lived when he was younger. So it felt very bad for him. You know, I was talking about you being teary-eyed. I was too. You know, I get that way easily. So that was something. What else did we like?
Malva is going to be a handful. I mean, again, I liked seeing her and John interact. I think that they're, I guess we're not going to get a Bobby Higgins, so maybe John is going to be the...
We don't know yet.
It's too soon, huh?
It is.
We'll see. I haven't been watching yet.
Bobby shows up as an emissary for Lord John Grey.
Gotcha.
He shows up. He's the one, because of the regulators and the tensions and everything, Lord John sends Bobby, because it wouldn't be good for either if Lord John showed up or Jamie went to him. So he sends the emissary.
Gotcha.
So there's hope. Right. Who knows? However, yes.
Still have a couple seasons. Yeah.
And then we have, I won't even tell you about those book scenes. and where Claire's imagination goes.
Yeah.
Poor Bobby Higgins. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see how that comes out. I did see somebody in one of the groups mistaking the McGregors, the old woman who yelled at Fergus and that he ends up punching her husband, confusing them for Mr. and Mrs. Bug.
Well, I did the same thing the first time I watched it, and I went back and I looked, and then I heard them say their names. So I did the same thing.
Yeah, it didn't even occur to me to think that was the Bugs, but
I could see it. Yeah,
I don't know.
Cesar said that in one of the takes when he was fighting with Mr. McGregor, or, you know, he actually punched him in for real. He didn't mean to, you know, but he ended up punching him. He thinks that might even be the take that they used in the episode. He said, I'm so sorry. He was so apologetic.
I really liked the Tom Christie stuff.
He's really good, isn't he?
Isn't he, though? He's got that part down.
And he's got phenomenal handwriting.
Yes.
Well, and I could be wrong, but I just don't remember him yelling out like that, because during the surgery in the book, I don't remember that, and I could be very wrong, but I thought he would be I remember him talking and saying in the books that he needed to be as stoic as McDo. So I was kind of surprised that he was yelling out so much, but I'll have to go reread that again.
Well, it made better TV.
Yeah.
They have to do, because it makes a better visual and because it created more tension, you know, between him and Jamie.
And Mr. Christie was reciting along, so they knew the verses, even though one was Protestant and one was Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's not a lot of difference, you know, in the Bible is interpreted a little bit differently and written a little bit differently, but not a lot. So... But I thought that was interesting. But I did like it. And when he's in the middle of the night, when Claire is down with him, he says, your hair, there's so much of it. What are you really saying, Tom? So, I don't know. Well, we have one caller. Let's encourage anybody else who wants to call in to us 929-477-3898. And let's see who this is today. Hi.
Hello. Hi, it's Karen from Seattle.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you all?
Hey, Karen.
I don't – you guys have all said pretty much what I wanted to say. The overriding theme for me was that they – and I can't even remember another episode other than Wave in the first season where every single character was spot on what I expected to – you know, like I said, we'd follow the books like I think Coco mentioned, and maybe that was part of it, but – Every interaction was just like I wouldn't have asked for anything different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously,
right.
obviously, Marcellie and Fergus, and you know, I mean, that goes without saying, they knocked it out of the park. You know, but you know, Jamie and Claire and John and obviously the Christies are I'm really excited about them and the actors. that are playing them because I think they're just like, it's kind of this simmering, like, ooh. If you've read the books, you kind of know obviously what's coming, and it's that expectation of where are they going to place some of this stuff in the rest of the season. So that's
right.
kind of what
right.
all I had to say.
Yeah.
So I just found it phenomenal that I guess it had to be, you know, Fergus and Marcellie. I mean, they just did so well, you know. And when they were in Seattle, you know, we heard some of the, you know, some of the, as much as they could discuss. So I think, you know, those of us that had seen them here had an expectation of, you know, that this was probably going to be very good. But they did phenomenal, just phenomenal. And I think that
right,
allowed
yeah.
the other characters that were in that storyline to kind of rise to the occasion. Not that any of them really need any help in the acting department, but it just, like I said, everybody, to me, the entire cast upped their game.
Yep.
Yes.
Every one of them. So.
Yeah.
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 Including the kids were good. I really liked the little boy Aiden. Is it Aiden, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Aiden. Yeah.
He did a good job. I thought he was adorable, and you know, little Jamal.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you really couldn't. Like I said, I couldn't find anything that I didn't really like about it. I mean. You know, it's been talked about ad nauseum, but the ether thing, I don't particularly care for that. But
mm-hmm.
but
right.
even that was a minor thing this week. I mean, the focus was really on the interactions between the, you know, main characters and stuff. So that didn't bother me as much this week, I guess, just because I was so – I loved everything else, put it that way. So
yeah, yeah.
anyway.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling. You have to talk to Coco.
Yeah.
Make sure she has your address for your Brianna card.
Oh, actually, you know what? I have one, so and I'm not a collector. Please pass it along to someone else.
But do you want
you
a
know,
Claire?
Because,
I have a Claire one, too. Do you want a Claire one?
Sure. Send a Claire one, then.
Okay.
Because I have the Brianna one from OV, so, you know, I would rather it go to somebody that doesn't have one. So, anyway. But. All right. Well, I'll let you guys talk to somebody else.
Thanks for calling in, Karen.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Karen.
Bye.
Good night. Another caller. You're supposed to 708. Hi, you're in the air with us.
It's Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
We haven't
talked to you
for a while.
Yeah, I haven't been able to tie the kids up somewhere to get a few minutes to myself.
The scary part is I'm afraid that you're literally talking about truly tying them up, aren't
no.
you? Okay.
No.
Not at all. Not at all.
They tied me
closet.
Up before.
Hmm? I want to know if you're
what
in
was
the closet.
Oh, I, you know what? No, there are times where I have a walk-in closet. I've hidden there. I've hidden the basement, hidden a few places, but because they always seem to know when I'm on the phone. So,
yep.
But
yep.
Holy cow, this last episode. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that got
me,
well, it was, everything was really great. The biggest thing, other than one other thing, was the ensemble got to shine. I adore Sam. I adore Katrina. I love Jamie and Claire as a couple and seeing them all the time, but everybody else got to shine as bright as they could. And it's like, wake up, everybody. There is more to the story than just Jamie and Claire. So
yeah,
I'm really happy that we're seeing the true Roger. We're not getting any more of that season four yuck. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are starting to see, oh, you know, I liked Roger better. And it's like, this is how Roger should be. So that was great. There was a scene towards the end as Cesar, as Fergus was walking up front, Cesar had this expression on his face. I didn't catch it the first time. I caught it when I was rewatching it on Sunday night, and it hit me hard. I knew an addict. I knew the look when he did this embarrassed, kind of just tormented look of shame. It hit me hard. I was like, oh, my God, that is exact. And I was just blown away. I probably cried for an hour. And then I thought I had to explain it to my husband. And he's like, this episode was by far one of the best ones they've done. And he's like, they're really, really showing the story. They're not just speeding it through. And when he could talk for 10 minutes about watching the episode, you know it was absolutely phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And the fact that he's been staying up on a Saturday night to watch with me, too, you know he's hooked.
Aww.
So,
that's sweet.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I don't think he's there for me. He's more for the show. Otherwise, he'd be like, yeah, just go watch it. I'll see it tomorrow. So, yeah, no, if he's staying up to watch it, you know it's good. So, but I was really glad to see how you get a piece of everybody else of the puzzle. You got to see how Malva is starting to, you know, show. I just thought, like, coquettish when I saw her, the way she looks at, like, Jamie and Ian. You just know that she's going to be up to something. And since I've read, I know what's going to happen. So it's like,
right.
Oh, boy. So, yep, fascinating thoughts, folks.
Let me ask you guys, does anybody else think that Jamie is more of the man we expected that character to be this season than he has been in the past?
Yes, a little bit.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's the same.
As much
I
as
think
I
even
was...
last season. I felt like even last season he was still a little bit Claire-dominated, and I feel like the writing has changed a little bit.
That's clear in the way the story is going, and it's for the better, much for the better.
Mm-hmm.
I think in that respect,
more
I
of,
have
of the leader.
Oh, I was going to say, I had the most trouble in season three with him.
Coco, I think you've died.
No,
did
I can
I
hear
you. Can you hear me?
No, I hear you.
I have the most trouble in season three with him and just being wishy-washy with Claire. And, you know, so I think that after season three, it's been progressively better for me. Season three, I just thought the whole thing was not good. Wishy-washy.
Yeah, there was a lot in season three that I didn't like.
Yeah,
and then
season
four didn't help at all.
Wishy-washy. He's been definitive, decisive. He's going to do these things, and he's been more like Book Jamie.
It's much easier to see him as McDo, as the man that other people turn to and respect. It's much easier to see that.
And because you said McDo, I remembered one last thing that, because I didn't get a chance to call in after 6:01. I had told Kiki on Twitter one time, I'm like, I am so sad I'm not going to get to see you get to sing an Outlander again. He goes, oh, maybe someday. Oh, the minute that he popped up, I'm like, oh, and then he started singing, and my husband's like, you're going to wake the kids. You need to calm down. I was so excited. Oh, my gosh, I was so happy for him. So, because we, the first time we saw him sing, that was his last episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought. So I was so excited for him, and off the top of my head, I can't remember the other guy's name. I could see his face in my head. Yeah, that's the name I couldn't remember. I'm lucky I remember my own name at this point.
Right.
But, yeah, I was just so happy to see them back. And it was really a great scene. So the other thing I wanted to look up was the boy who died, the guy who played Geordi in season 3 in the print shop.
Uh-huh.
Was it?
Right.
That's what I thought it looked like, the actor.
No.
Sounded like him, and I'm like, okay, I thought I was going to look
no.
it up, and I never got a chance to. So.
No.
All righty.
No, different actor. Yeah. But, well, thanks for calling. We can send you a Brianna promo card.
That would be great.
And I have a Claire one, too, so that you can match it all up with your daughter's name.
Thank you so much. I'll frame it for her. Yes, Little Miss Brianna Claire.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much.
Send me your address again,
I will.
Jamie, and
I will.
I'll pass mm-hmm. that along to Coco.
All right.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for calling. Take care.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, I'm hoping somebody else calls in. 929-477-3898. So next week, you know, I because I watched the screeners, I don't see the coming attractions. So I don't know what they were showing for this coming week. Do you guys remember what was in the trailer?
Yes, I remember. Brayden is back.
Yes.
Yes.
Keharrison.
Yes.
Keharrison was his
yes.
his character name.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I remember. I saw Brayden and that was it.
All right, good memory. Yeah, they did show that there was some tension. They had a bunch of Indians that were coming up, so yeah, it was going to be something about that. Trying to remember. Because I watched the previews the first time I watched it through, but that was, like, pretty late at night. And then when I rewatched it again,
yeah.
I didn't rewatch the previews.
Yeah. I watched the episode, Saturday night's episode, again today. So I'm not going to give anything away except I'm going to tell you, you need a Kleenex and a Dram. So
you're killing me.
That'll be useful. Episode 5 landed in screener box today, but I have not had the chance to watch it. I might stay up late and watch it tonight after I pack, because we are leaving tomorrow to go to Arizona, and where Friday we'll meet up with Coco and Kathy Case, and Saturday our friend Alice, who we met in Seattle at Coco's event, and go to the Diana thing at Flagstaff. So that should be a lot of fun. But I've got to get packed for that. So it's reloading the laundry this afternoon, so we're ready.
I'm not leaving tomorrow, but I'm not packed yet. So
I'm shocked.
No, but I'm not leaving tomorrow.
Okay.
But actually, so
yeah,
I made dinner reservations for all of us. And that's going to be a lot of fun, because when I went to the Highland Tea with for the nachos several years ago, I actually tweeted Diana asking her for a restaurant recommendation in Flagstaff. And I remember she actually tweeted me back and said Bricks was one of her favorites. So we have reservations for Bricks, and that is with you, me, Allison, Kathy, Kevin. Kevin's going to have a harem. Pamela Munn
like
and Tina Anderson. So if anybody has read into chapter 47 of Bees, Tina Anderson is right there on the page.
I freaked out when I read that. I went,
I know.
Oh, my God. And so, I called her right away. I said, is this you? She goes, it is.
Yes. Yes. So we are having
That's
dinner with
fun.
The wonderfully famous Tina Anderson. She's actually been a good friend of ours for several years. So, and
very good.
But that'll be exciting.
I've seen
and,
her,
and,
yeah, I had seen her at a couple of events, but never really talked to her before Seattle this year. So it'll be fun to see both her and Pamela again.
Yes, and
as she's described in the book. She's described in the book as being, I don't know how they say it, like tall and informative or something like that.
Blonde.
Statuesque blonde.
Yeah.
She is. So I think, you know, but she is the sweetest person.
She
yeah.
truly is. We just love our Texas teas. But
well,
she actually was messaging me last night saying she's looking forward to seeing us and stuff, so. So we'll have a nice dinner at a place that Diana likes in Flagstaff. And so
now if we could only get Diana to meet her there.
Oh,
that would be fun.
For dinner? Yeah, that'd be fun.
Who's bringing the Sassanac tequila for the, you know, you're in Arizona, you got to do the whole southern, you know. Anybody going to bring?
I'm bringing a birdhouse. I am not bringing the whiskey.
True. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to, we were planning to go out to Phoenix anyway because I'm going to the, I want to go see the Dale Chihuly exhibit at the Taliesin West and also at the Desert Botanical Garden. So going back to my very first Outlander event, which was the Moby release, the Random House party for Moby, the woman I met online in your Facebook, Coco, Laura Miller, we were roommates for that event, and she's going to drive down and meet me, and we're going to go to the Botanical Garden together next Monday. That should be a lot of fun. I haven't seen her since, I think since the last San Diego Comic-Con that I went to.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So, Yeah. We have another caller. Let's see who this is. Hi, you're on here. Who is this?
This is Kat. Kat Sinkill.
Hi there.
Hey, Kat.
Caitlin,
how are you?
Any, whatever hat you want me to be wearing. I'm doing good. I missed the whole first part of this, so I've been, something else came up, so I just wanted to call in and say hey.
Hey, what was your favorite part of
the show
three? Tell us about
that. I mainly wanted to make sure that someone mentioned Lizzie and the twins. I mean,
we were waiting
for
you.
That's your job, girl.
That's your job.
No, Lizzie.
Oh my
God! Yes.
Yeah, and I one of the things I wanted to bring up is I don't know the whole Roger and Bree exchange, where Brianna is seems totally clueless about Lizzie and the twins,
mm-hmm.
and it's Roger
that
you know, says, hey, they flipped that completely, because in the book, it's Brianna who has those lines and says it to Roger. So I thought that was really interesting. I liked it. I'm not upset that they changed it, but I thought it was really interesting that they made Roger more observant about that than Brianna.
Yeah.
Which actually
I like that
sense.
Line. They follow her like, they follow around like two puppy dogs. Then he's just more like wolves.
Yeah. And they did not put the line in that came after that. It's actually in the book, it says tame wolf. And then Brianna says, like tame wolf. And Roger in the book says, I thought Ian said you couldn't tame a wolf, and Brianna answers, you can't.
Huh.
And so they kind of left that. Yeah, that I don't think it was needed, but I had forgotten that you can't. So it kind of underlines that how fierce the twins can be, even though they don't seem that fearsome.
Right.
But I've gone way back down the rabbit hole trying to figure out which twin is which. I'm telling you, I don't know whether it's the writers and costumers trying to parent trap us or whether the twins are trying to parent trap Lizzie, but they're doing a number on the costumes, people.
Interesting. Interesting. How did your Zoom event go last week?
Very
it
nice.
Was really
I was
great.
There.
Yeah, it's really interesting. There's a lot of different viewpoints, and the thing I like is that it's a very respectful discussion. People are loving and supportive, and yet comfortable saying, "Well, I didn't particularly like this, or I would have liked to see that," and doing it in a way that is not it's not hateful, you know. So it was great. I really enjoyed it. We had, I guess we had 10 or 11 people,
yeah,
something like
that.
It was
like a decent amount. It was good discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nice. So we'll just see. Yeah, but
then are you?
I don't know. I do a whole video breakdown of everything that Lizzie and the twins are in at the beginning.
Every second that they're on screen, yeah. But it's actually really cute. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I couldn't be there.
Oh, that's okay.
I was on my way running errands, getting a haircut that I haven't had in 5 months, and had to run around, and I'm sorry I missed it.
Well, and you can't do it this week because you're going to be in with Diana. I'm doing mine an hour earlier than normal so that we'll be done in time to go to the online version of the Diana event. I want pictures of your hat, Coco. I'm sure you're planning something amazing.
Oh, yeah.
My birdhouse. Yes, I need to work on that. Actually, I think what'll end up happening because assembled, it'll be too hard to travel with because I am traveling with a cat and all her accoutrements, and so it would just be a little difficult. I might have to assemble it while I'm in Arizona, so I'm bringing the glue gun.
Oh, that's smart.
What could go wrong?
Okay.
Traveling with a cat, a bird cage, and a glue gun. That TSA agent's just going to have a field day.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I assembled the idiot hut in England. You know, I carried it disassembled in my suitcase and then put it together in the hotel room in Birmingham. So I'm sure you can do that with the bird.
Well, I can't wait to see it. So,
well, I need to make up something that says Fraser's Ridge on it, and maybe I might have to pick some. Actually, I have probably little pine cones in my yard that'll work, but I need to pick some foliage and just glue it on in place, just for the day.
Okay,
and I think that'll be it. But the funny thing is about that event, they'll have about 7 or 8 winners of the hat contest. So they just make up categories on the fly, which is actually funny. The first time I went, I wore do you remember the beanie hat with the standing stones that looked like male parts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. One of those. And I had it on a hat, and I had all kinds of lights and stuff in it, a battery-operated lights. Oh, that sounds really bad. But so I won the best lit hat. And then the second time I had the ship.
Yeah.
You saw the ship.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With Jamie and Clara on one, and then with Mr. Willoughby and Ping On, and the balls. What are those balls called?
Healthy balls.
No.
They're jade balls.
The Benoit balls.
Benoit, yeah.
And so I won then too, but I don't remember which category they made up for me. But they do. They give out about 7 or 8 prizes to people for different categories. And one of the hats was like a very wide brimmed shallow hat. And I think it was one of the girls from LA, and she made the entire thing out of book pages of one of Diana's books.
Wow.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, it really is. And there were some fascinators there. And so it'll be pretty fun.
I can't wait to see it all.
Yeah. Excited.
That'll be fun.
So.
Yeah. Well, Kathy, can we send you a Brianna?
Sure. That would be great.
Well, I have some other stuff I need to send you anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Then Coco will be happy to take care of that. And it'll be a reminder of Klingon to visit with us.
And I'm really happy that those tornadoes weren't anywhere close to you last night. You had an interesting evening, huh?
This is Texas. This is what happens. But I think because I'm older, it's just scarier. And then like the university, they never cancel anything for any reason. They actually canceled classes for last night. They canceled all classes after 5:30 because the predictions were so severe. And there were documented tornadoes, like not right near me, but in the areas surrounding our community. So, I'm fine. And I don't believe there's been any loss of life, which is the most important thing. But it was pretty scary. I was more nervous than I usually am in something like that. So, I feel very lucky.
Glad to say.
Yeah, I'm glad that was okay. Yeah. Tornadoes scare me more than earthquakes. And I grew up in earthquake country, so.
Yeah. When your best defense is huddling in your interior bathroom with your cats and cat carriers going, oh, please don't let the roof pull off and take my cats and the carriers, It's like, there's just the helplessness. But, it's not like an earthquake would be any better than that. Because you don't even get any warning with an earthquake, at least with
a
tornado.
That's exactly why it's better.
If you're going to go, just go quickly.
That's it. But if it's my time to be smushed, it's my time to be smushed. I'm not going to know. Well, we're glad it's all okay.
Well,
and hopefully the tornadoes will stay away.
Thanks for calling and sharing with us.
Sure. Thanks for doing this again. I always enjoy listening.
You're welcome. I'm glad. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we don't have more callers. We've got enough time for one if somebody called quick. But beyond that...
I have a question for Samantha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Erin, I know you've seen the next episode because you're a screener. And what is the title? It has a wolf in it, right?
Yes, it's Hour of the Wolf.
Hour of the Wolf. Samantha, what do you think?
Oh, I think we're finally going to get to see and hear about... What happened to John and his wife and all like that. I think it's going to –
Emily.
It's got to be the tearjerker side of it.
Works with her hands.
Yeah.
So last season, there was a scene, and it was where young Ian went to go be by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he was burying the tomahawk and all that. And he was fidgeting with the beaded bracelet on his wrist. right after that came out, I had asked him, I said, oh, hey, was that the ode to your wife works with her hands? And he told me, because they never said anything, he said, very good catch, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he wears the beaded bracelet that works with her hands, gave to him, obviously, when they were together. So I want to look, try and see if they show that again, or if he fidgets with it again during his storytelling of that.
Yeah.
Oh, also, and Aaron, I can give you the link, but you might have seen it posted in Pacific Northwest Sassenax. There is forger, like metal forging, not autographs, who makes those, and now I'm drawing a blank. There's a name for those trading rings that Ian wears, Harrison wears.
Oh, like the coat, right.
Yes, the trading rings. There is a person who actually makes those.
Ooh,
it's really cool. Let's see. I posted it. I saw it in a group, and there's somebody, and the site is Wandering, WANDER, wanderingbulls.com. And those, well, they are brooches, but there's a certain other name for them. And there's a whole bunch of different styles of those that are forged in the way that they used to be worn, et cetera, including the ones that are similar to the ones Ian wears. So it's really cool. I know a lot of people are looking for those who are into replica costuming, et cetera, but wanderingbull.com has those.
So, interesting. So, I won't tell you any more about next week. So, you should be surprised.
Well, I'm anticipating, and I will definitely get my tissues and my whiskey and my my blankie. Yeah, take a nap before the show starts, so I'm not tired and emotional.
Well, I'm going to be on an Amtrak train overnight on Saturday.
Oh, oops.
So, because I'm taking the train from Flagstaff to LA and then the surf liner to Santa Barbara. So I'm going to have to see if I can get into the Stars app to watch it. Wish me luck.
Well, we've already talked about that, so.
Yeah, no, I know. So, but anyway, that's where I'll be trying to watch it.
I did not get my review for Sunday done today like I thought I might possibly be able to, which is totally down to my own personal procrastination habit. I've only had these for 3 weeks. I certainly could have done it at any time. So I'll have to see when I actually get a review for next Saturday. It depends on how much I have to do this week. And next week for the GAB, I will still be in Arizona. So Sam will be leading the show. And Coco, I hope you'll be able to be there with her. She's not just talking to herself. Unless
Which
Allison
I do
is able
all
to be
the
back.
Time anyway. I'm known for that. It's okay. No.
You know, I would be thrilled to join you from Santa Barbara.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would be fun. And if I am free that evening, I will try to call in and visit a little bit. But I don't really want to try to manage it from a hotel room. It would be possible, but I'm not going to try to do that. So this will be the first one I've missed. So,
ever?
Ever, yep. But we'll leave it in Sam and Coco's capable hands.
Oh, thank you.
So
I have a question for you, Aaron. Because you put it in the outline for tonight's show, how high would you jump if there was a bullfrog in your milk?
I wouldn't be drinking that milk, that's for sure. But Yes, I would jump very high and then probably fall on the floor.
Well, Samantha, you saw a little tidbit about that frog, right?
Yeah, his name is Jeremiah.
That's pretty funny. So I think Amy Higgins is going to be one of the sleepers, and she's going to come out with a bang this season. I have no idea. I'm hoping. Because she was absolutely delightful to meet. Right, Samantha?
Yeah, I really do have to give kudos to the casting on Outlander. They really nail it every time. Even when people question at first, when they see the announcements, when they see, they're like, oh, they've got the wrong color eyes, they've got the wrong color hair. But then these people put on the costumes, put on the wigs, put on the makeup, and they just bring it. And that's why I can't wait to see who William's going to be. I'm sure that they're keeping that under wraps, as a tightly guarded secret if and when he comes, because they don't want people doing that until they see him do what he does,
Right. Right.
I have faith in the people who cast this show.
Yeah.
And we see the beginning of that whole false narrative of Roger and Amy Higgins. They're starting with that.
Well, right. Well, don't give anything away. And it's Amy McCallum yet, so.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Okay, sorry.
Yep, we haven't gotten to the other thing yet. So.
Amy, stay away from grapes.
We have no Bobby Higgins coming. Well, I think we're going to say goodnight, ladies. No more calls, and I have to pass. So thank you very much for joining me tonight. And to everybody listening, I hope you enjoy this week's episode as much as I have and will enjoy writing about it. That's a lie because I really don't. I procrastinate enough when I get these reviews done, but it's phenomenal, and that's all I'm going to tell you about it. So take care, everybody. Have a good evening, and we'll see you soon.
And safe travels.
Thanks, you too.
All right. I will see you on Friday.
See you then. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
All alone.